With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
My Song Suck would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and community. We pay our respects to them and their cultures, and to the elders both past and present.
Hello and welcome to My Song Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started.
Hello, we are back. Welcome back to My Song Suck. I'm Alex Smith.
I'm James Keogh.
And thank you for joining us this week. James, what's going on in the land of James?
Well, depending on when this episode comes out, and likely when this episode comes out, a severe lockdown has plagued my hometown. Not my hometown. The town in which I am currently. Yeah, no, still in lockdown, still chilling out. I was chatting with you folks, Alex and Zane, before we started. I got a new PC recently, which has been helping me through the cold, lonely nights by playing them high-res bloody shooty games.
Hell yeah. Bloody,
yeah, got that RTX 3070, and it's chugging away.
Gamers.
How about you, Alex? What are you up to?
I'm going all right. Bloody kicking goals. Albums come out. Music videos come out. Graduating uni. Fucking all sorts of exciting things. But
yeah, look at you go.
With every high must come a low. I went today to go and buy a red blazer from someone on Facebook Marketplace. It was a woman's blazer, size 12. And I was like, I know that women's sizes are fucked, but let's see if I can get the general ballpark here. A rookie move. And it was like, it's about a men's large. And I was like, all right, I'm about a men's large on the larger side of the large. So I got there and I already felt creepy about being a man from the internet coming to buy an item of woman's clothing from someone. And then she was like, hi, and just kind of handed it to me. And I wanted to try it on, see if it fit. But I was like, no, because if it doesn't fit, then I'd be like, oh, this doesn't fit, take it back. And then I just came to her house to wear her jacket and then leave and not give her money for it. And that's worse. So I got to my car and then I tried it on and it was so tight, I can never wear it in my lifetime.
Oh,
my shoulders are too broad. So
damn.
$10. I will say, on the photo was really nice and it was on like one of the mannequins. And when she gave it to me, it was like scrumpled up and real bad. And she's like, you need to iron it. I'm like, what the fuck did you do between taking the photo? God damn, I can't sell this now.
Crumpled it up.
Yeah. Fun. Man, fuck this guy. Crumple.
What do you need the red blazer for? Or just for fashion sense?
I have an exciting project coming up. I don't want to spoil anything.
Ooh,
join my Patreon.
A little tease, yeah. Little breadcrumbs.
But if you know anything that might require a red blazer, then I won't say it either way. This has been a long tangent, but thank you for joining us. I wonder if I'll include it. Sometimes I just cut these big tangents.
Sometimes these get cut. Anyway,
we like
let's
to
talk
have
about
fun.
The song. This is part of the, like, we're doing one on, one off in terms of like these two albums that you've done in tandem. This album's EP, right?
Yeah.
so this one's part of the four songs
going
that you wrote
moon.
For a lady.
It is.
At your uni.
This song, I discovered, has to have come out 2011 or later. Okay. The date says 2011. I thought we were in 2010, but I know this comes out in 2011 for a reason that we'll discuss later when it gets to it.
Ooh, another breadcrumb, another tease. Ooh, red yum, blazer. Yum, 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 yum. Came out in 2011. What does it all mean? J.J. Abrams, mystery box.
It's poetry. It rhymes.
It rhymes.
Lens flare.
Let's get into it. Yeah. Let's just listen to the song. This is a song called Your Light, and it's the second one off the EP.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Maybe your sunlight on a cloudy day, you are the color. is great. You make my hands shake, make my heart beat in my chest. You're the most incredible person that I've ever met. But you don't need me, you don't see me.
Chasing a giant crab up the beach. Now you were in that dream, baby, but you wouldn't help me. Oh no, you were laughing at me. Now I looked up the meaning of this dream because I thought it was a comment on my sexual hygiene. But as it turns out, to see a crab in a dream represents an unobtainable relationship. And that's when I knew, baby. I just knew. I had to let you go.
And there you have it.
And there you have it.
What do we think?
Look, I think that it's a simple little ditty that you bring, you just push a lot into, in terms of just like, just a lot of vocal stuff. There's some spoken stuff going on, which, hey, look, you know. And, you know, in terms of the message there, I don't know if it hits the mark.
Oh.
But to the core of it, there's something that just plods along, and also maybe it could be a bit faster. Because I did kind of check in and I was like, oh yeah, we're having a good time. We are halfway through. Did think we were finished.
Damn.
That's my like
yet fair review.
One sentence review there.
Sure.
How are we feeling there, Alex?
I really like this song. I think this is one of the best songs so far, easily. And when I used to play, this was one of the feathers in my cap. This was my best song for a long time. I think that the songwriting has really matured here. It sounds like a song as opposed to a bunch of bullshit that is happening.
yes.
I definitely agree that there's a lot going on. and it does start to drag. The average listener, probably because we tend to loop this when we do our notes and get a vibe for it. I don't know if it was designed to be listened on repeat. So, and it's quite samey. But yeah. The thing that fucking gets me is that it sounds like it was recorded on an ass. Why does this sound so bad?
That's one of the things. That's one of my notes is that just like that gives me early Alex vibes.
Yeah.
Where it's just like,
what the fuck's going on with this pixely bullshit?
Yeah.
I thought we were past this. I cannot say why it sounds as crunchy and distorted and shit as it does. At this point, I would have been using my fancy mic. Oh my goodness, I know exactly why. I'm probably just clipping it to fuck. Clipping it to buggery, I should say. Not clipping it in order to fuck.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably why it's so...
As in,
distorting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because here's the other thing. So as you know, when you record something, when it goes in, if it's too loud, it hits the red. So you turn it down so that it doesn't hit the red.
Right.
What they don't tell you is about summing clipping. That's not the word for it, but summing is what's happening. So you have four tracks at a volume where they don't clip. If you play those four tracks together, the stereo out for that track will clip.
Piles on each other, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a great reduction. But that's the only thing I can think of as to why this sounds so
like air
bad.
Out of a balloon.
Yeah.
Because it does, like, tinny is the word that I applied to it. And yeah. I've got here, bold of you to play a song to Casio keyboard preset song number 3.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. This is a real step back in terms of the production.
I agree.
It's like one step forward with the songwriting, two steps back with the production. Like, I have a lot of love for this song, for the musicality. Like, you have a drum beat that is actually a drum beat people would play. You got the...
Sure.
Like, that's a real... It isn't some weird, I don't play the drum style fucking drum beat. It's... Oh, and, like, a sophisticated bass line. Normally, it's Yeah, you can hum the bass line because it's, like, good and catchy. I'd say it's probably because the 50s did a lot of the heavy lifting for me in terms of this whole song, which kind of brings us neatly to an important point that I should note. The reason I know that it came out in 2011 is because I became enamored with a small video on YouTube, which I don't know why it hasn't gotten more love in the fucking 10 years since. It's only got 4,000 views. It's some college performance. And they do some songs from, I think, a Back to the Future musical.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or maybe
know
just
that
like
existed. No.
Yeah. Right. And they have a song called Lorraine. You Are My Destiny.
Yeah.
And it's like a 50s doo-wop thing because it makes sense because it's Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it's really great, and you should definitely check it out. And I can't say I ripped it off, but like the influence was incredibly strong. And if you watch that and then listen to this, if you're not a music person who knows enough to know the ways it's different, like if you were perhaps a lawyer, if you were perhaps a lawyer, you'd be like, oh yeah, this guy's going to fucking jail. But like the 1950s, like, so say, if you were to say, all right, a cappella, do a song. And I don't mean like a specific song, just what does a song from 2020 sound like? Do it.
Baby, we've only got tonight, baby. That's more of like a early 2000s. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. But to prove my point, now do a song from the 50s.
Doom, boom. Baby, I love the way your eyebrows hit my face.
My face. Yeah. I guess when they kiss, right?
Because when they kiss.
Yeah. But yeah, see, you got the bouncy melody, the clicks, the wavy, like all 50 songs sound very, very similar.
All 50 songs are the same. They were just recycling the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. The ice cream changes because it's about the fact
that
all the same. Is this a yes of like, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about?
No, I know all the Ice Cream Yes. Cages. But for anyone who like didn't, I don't know, like I know what they are, but like for anyone who didn't.
Well, it's basically the chord progression that most 50 songs use. They're called the Ice Cream Changes because, you know, ice cream bars and stuff. And there's a song called Those Magic Changes. And it's just about how when he hears those chords, you know, the melody.
From Greece.
Yeah, from Greece. And basically just about how all those songs sound the same but have different melodies. Like, they talked about it back then. So
they knew. It was like a meme.
Me kind of ripping off that song from YouTube is kind of very unfitting of the theme of the 50s. Really?
Indeed.
I think it's different enough to get away with it.
I mean, like, not to pile on, you also do lyrically kind of lean into the 50s-ness of it. As we'll see, let's have a look at the first section of this song here.
Maybe you're sunlight on a cloudy day. You are the color in a world that is gray. You make my hands shake, make my heart beat in my chest. You're the most incredible person that I've ever met. But you don't need me, you don't see me.
It does leave you wanting more. Gets you hooked.
What do you got to say? What's 50s about
I'm
that?
Just saying, baby, you're sunlight on a cloudy day. Yeah. You're the color in a world that's gray.
Yeah.
It's just not the most inspired, groundbreaking lyricism.
You're breaking my heart here, James. I felt very good about these lyrics when I read them.
You thought that no one else in the whole wide world.
Nobody. Not even in the song that I ripped this from, where they specifically mentioned sunlight twice. Damn. Well, I think...
It's an homage. It's an homage.
Yeah, it's an homage. It's fine. Like, the color in a world that is gray, a reference to depression. Sunlight and cloudy day, depression. But also then that's making it a, you are the happiness in my life.
You are the happiness, I would die without you.
Yeah, bad
Which is
point.
Something that we do sort of do. Lean towards later in the song. In fact, all the way through the song.
But I think
we'll get there.
You make my hand shake, make my heart beat in my chest. Cute.
Yeah,
you're the most incredible person that I've ever met. True.
It is cute.
See, I think I like this because it's so true. So many times in our lives, sometimes you can be swept up and you're just like, I've never known anyone I've never known anyone as beautiful as you can be true. It's like, I've never physically interacted with anyone who is as conventionally attractive as you. But like this person, she really was the most incredible person that I'd ever met. And I was so happy to exultantly sing that at the top of my voice because it was true. God damn. Boom.
There you go. You can hear the truth. Through the song.
Yeah. Bit of trivia. Do we do trivia as we go through, or do you want me to do it at the end?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like, you know, we're too segmented. Now it's time for the trivia. Now it's time for this and that. Let's just bloody mix it all up like a bloody big old
milkshake
brew.
Oh.
Throw me some Eye of Newt.
Here you go, lad.
That's what we call trivia in the biz.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so for the longest time, time. I sang this song at gigs, and this was one of my regulars, and that, but you don't need me, you don't see me, ooh. I included this song in one of my theater things, and one of the guys was like, I have some plans for this song. I got an idea for it, and I was like, hate that. This isn't really like a collaborative thing. This is kind of just like a song I have so that we don't have to spend the next 45 minutes writing a piece for this drama exercise we're doing in class. I'm trying to like help us here. But he did make a very good suggestion. and I ended up changing it. So
there you go. Collaboration.
I've actually made a few different versions of this song, but it felt dishonest to the show to not include the first one.
Sure.
But the actual way that this goes now is, but you don't need me. You don't see me. Ooh. Just a little bit more interesting. So the backing vocalist still doing the, you don't need me. And then on top of it, it kind of jumps around, which I think was a good addition.
Yeah.
And adds a new energy just before the chorus. That's just some information about
the
song.
That's good trivia.
Yeah, right?
Good Eye of Newt.
Yeah, this bit evolved. I don't know whether we've been keeping track on the accent, but this one is very American.
Very American. Which, I mean, it kind of has to be for the style, right?
Yeah.
Very doobop, very 50s.
I wonder whether this is some sort of switch that clicked in me. Whether I was like, this is it now. This is the voice. Try to understand it. But I can't remember. The one before this was Plastic Singers. There comes a time in everybody's... I don't know. Maybe this whole year.
I think you were like wishy-washy in Plastic Singers.
Yeah. We're
and then a little bit of like weird Spanish flair at Natalie and Bruglia.
Fuck.
You don't need me. You don't see me. I blew our last chance at our last dance.
Oh,
but
actual trivia. Sorry. Yeah. This song was written briefly after there was some sort of old person party at uni where we dressed up as old people.
Oh, cool. And that is a fun party.
Yeah. And we slow danced as old people. And I don't think I said anything to ruin it. I think it was more that like I didn't confess my love for her.
Sure.
Or some fucking awful thing that I'm glad I never did. but I think that's me. I blew our last chance at our last dance.
Oh, so there was an actual dance.
Yeah, it was an actual dance. We were dancing. It was cute. We were very close, good friends before I ruined it by seeking more.
So wait, so while you've written this, you guys are still tight. You guys are still just friends.
Yes.
And you've written this song about how you've been completely dejected and you're unwanted.
Okay. So,
sorry.
I'm just remembering my fucking life.
Slumdog Millionaire in this.
It so is. Whenever I listen to it, I'm like, I got nothing for this song. Then I listen like four times through it. I'm like, oh, I'm having a memory. Fuck. So, like I said, I used to play this song, the song before it. The four songs on this. Oh, God damn it.
Yes.
I used to play these songs at my gigs in a row. It was like a bit where the fucking gig screeched to a halt. And I was like, who's my fucking. And I would tell a little story in between each song to give it some context. The thing I would say about this was I would explain that the person I was after, I was like, there comes a time in everybody's life when you fall in love with someone and it turns out that they're a lesbian. It happens to the best of us. You know, blah, 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 blah. Which at the time I thought was very funny. And I don't know if that's problematic.
I don't think it's problematic.
Because like, I guess, I don't know.
It's just a funny thing that happened to you.
It's just a funny thing. You like someone who can't. Yeah. But so that's the whole thing. It's, I can't have you, gross possessive term.
Yes.
But like, it's just that, like, I really like you, but you don't like men or me.
So
wait,
you
knew
she was a lesbian at this point that you'd written the song?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you still love her though?
Well,
as per the rules of the song.
You
know she's a lesbian.
I think I love her.
Uh-huh.
I know,
but you know that
I
need her. Okay.
But I can't have her and it's tearing me apart.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, see? It's clever. I get Zane is shaking his head. And also I'd argue that there's more than one kind of love.
Sure.
Which I wish I'd known back at the time, because then maybe I wouldn't have shat all over this beautiful friendship by, you know, being like, oh, a person of the opposite sex is being nice to me. This must be what romance is.
You know?
I feel like I did have a crush on her at the very least.
I think,
like, you can have a crush on someone and also think that they're an incredible friend and very talented and, you know,
all that and write stuff. Four songs about them. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I didn't write four songs about her.
And show one of them to her. Anyway.
Oh, my friend, I showed all of them to her.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I showed her the first one.
Yes.
And then we were buds for a bit. And then she came to my gigs and I played her all four in a row. Remember that one where she came and it was just me and her and like a friend?
Yes. How could I forget?
And I was just sat like a meter away from her because it was that fucking grilled.
How could I forget?
Yeah. Welcome to my fucking world, buddy. I have to live with being the fucking the guy in that story.
All right. Let's keep listening to the song. Let's go to the chorus.
I think I love you.
Good chorus. It is difficult to listen to knowing the context. I feel like we've just seen this character go away and like kick a dog to death and then come in and be like, sorry, everybody, and then start playing the chorus and you're like,
I don't know this guy anymore. I think the way that you've described it in terms of the opening lines, I think I love you. I know I need you, but I can't have you. It's tearing me apart. I think making that distinction is very important.
Yeah.
And that legitimizes a lot of the corporate. That it makes it okay.
Why, thank you? Is this a trap? I was going to say, why thank you? And I was like, wait, is this a trap?
Because I was going into this and I was like, oh no, I don't know about this one, man. Mm. This ain't it, chief. But I think describing, you know, going through the chorus with that sort of like fine tooth comb.
Yeah.
You sort of get an understanding of like, okay, I see what you're saying here.
Yeah, I pick my words very carefully. That's why it takes me so long to write songs.
Do-bop-do-wop.
But like, do-bop-do-wop. What I really like about this song is that melodically, it also represents the slow inching forward. So it's, I think I love you. I know I need you. But I can't have you.
Aww.
And it's tearing me apart. And like, as it increases in tension, so too do the statements that it's saying.
Yeah.
And I was very proud of that.
I think it's nice.
Thank you. Thanks, Mum. Put it on the fridge.
You're welcome.
And also the lyricism. So as we mentioned, we've got the, I think I love you. I know I need you, but I can't have you. And it's tearing me apart. I think I love you. I know I need you. Your light is shining through the cracks in my poor heart. We can, in these lyrics, you're making the face as if I've said something stupid.
I remembered the light is shining through the cracks in my poor heart bit. And, no, go on.
So we've established, you know, you're breaking my heart. I have a broken heart and I'm sad. We have established that she radiates light, you know, that she's like a big source of light and happiness in his life. He can't be with her, and so his heart's broken. Rather than saying, you know, you've broken my heart, he says, your light is shining through the cracks in my heart. So we know his heart is broken, that she emits light, but we don't use any gross cliches like, you know, I have a broken heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty, you know, a good way to avoid some cliches. But it did sound like you thought there were some stupid lyrics there.
Not stupid. It's just that, like, it's another thing of, like, you're so great and I'm breaking apart. And, like, maybe that is what it is. And maybe that's okay. But we've fallen into this trap a lot of times, Mr. Smith, of having women just be the thing that fixes a person.
Yeah.
And I guess, shining through doesn't mean, like, the kind of light that's, like, repairing the heart.
Oh,
it just
yeah,
means
yeah.
that, like, it's just, you can see, it's like a torch.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I feel like the thesis statement of this song is, you are, I mean, it's probably too long to be a thesis statement, but you are a great source of joy in my life. I care about you very much. I wish we could be together. We cannot. And that, you know, I mourn the loss of that potential relationship. However, I recognize that, and I have to let you go, as mentioned in the spoken word section, which we will get to.
We will get there.
But this still makes me sad. And so your light is shining through the cracks in my poor heart. because my heart is broken that I can't be with you. And that makes me sad. But I'm not clawing to change it. I'm merely sad.
It's a resignation that to the fact that this is who we are, this is what we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But maybe I'm
It's all right to be sad.
Yeah, it's okay to be sad. And like, you can like someone and maybe they don't like you back. And some, you know, it's a bummer. That's sad.
Yeah. Maybe you still think you love them, but you know that at the very least, you need them. Let's continue.
Good.
But when you're near me, well, it's worth all the pain. You're like ice cream after dinner or puddles after rain. Just one look into your eyes and I know I'll be all right. Even though I've got nobody to come to at night. Who am I kidding?
Oh, you cut the
cord. Oh, no, I didn't mean to.
Oh,
yeah, it's because you blasphemed, dude. Come on. You know, don't take our Lord's name in vain.
This is an 18-year-old. This man can vote.
This man can vote.
I sound so whiny.
Yeah, very funny.
You're like ice cream after dinner or puddles after rain.
What do you think about that, those lyrics?
Here's the thing. Ice cream after dinner fucking loses me hardcore. Puddles after rain does win me back. I think that's some cute Ghibli shit.
Yeah.
But ice cream after dinner?
Like, yeah, it makes dinner a bad thing. Like, oh, I had to have my dinny. But now I get icy cream.
It does. I never even realized that it makes dinner seem like the bad thing. Because it puddles after rain.
Yeah.
See, that's a thing of me being stupid because I didn't see it as like, it's a good thing after a bad thing. It was just like, puddles are nice. Ice cream's nice. You like nice things.
You like the nice things.
So we've changed the melody from the first verse.
Yes.
I think we've chucked it up the octave. So, but when
you're
near
me. Yeah, this is like essentially a bridge.
Well, it's similar enough that you're like, okay, this is a verse, but it changes the energy. I really like the energy of verse two. I didn't feel like it was dragging on. I'm like, okay, the song is going longer than I expected, but I like the journey we're on.
Yeah.
We got bits happening everywhere. We got, but when you're near me, it's fucking up there. With all the pain, you're like ice cream after dinner.
Yeah.
That's like a fun thing that the
I do think verse two is more interesting melody-wise than verse one. Yeah.
And then the second half of verse two fucking goes off the rails. Just one look into your eyes and I know I'll be all right. Even though I got nobody to come to at night. Who am I kidding? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I do feel like that slightly undermines
it. I don't know what you're saying when you're saying who am I kidding, oh, God? Like, is this just like, I'm fine. Oh, who am I kidding?
I think that's it, yeah. Because it's like, just one look into your eyes and I know I'll be all right. At the concept of not being with you.
Yeah.
Even though I got nobody to come to at night. Oh, who am I kidding?
So you're still lonely.
Yeah.
It's a good gag. I just don't know if it fits.
It's a no from me.
It's a no from me.
God, I'm flashing back. But yeah, good new energy.
Yeah, it does. It mixes it up, which I appreciate it for. I would definitely be more critical of this song if verse two was just a verse one clone.
I think that was something I was learning, and I don't know whether this is like the secret sauce that's making me stand out from other Brisbane musicians, but other Brisbane musicians don't listen to me anyway, so we're fine. But you'll notice in my music onwards, and from this one, I don't know whether the next one does it, but verse one, chorus one, establish the melody. Verse two, chorus two, change it up, keep it exciting. Verse three onward, like bridge fucking
spoken segment.
Go wild. Yeah. Spoken segment. Go wild at the bridge. Chorus, go absolutely nuts. All throw it at the wall. So here we have the instance. So this ain't no fucking Emma.
Right.
Where it's all the exact same.
Yeah.
We got some new energy coming in for verse two. So up to this point, we've had a very good realistic drum beat. On chorus too. Well, I mean, on all the choruses, I just have this really distracting fucking open cymbal. It might be an open hi-hat. It might be a cymbal, but it's just like, it's doing the 1, 2, 3, 4 the whole time, which is awful and distracting.
All right. We'll listen to Zane play clip 2 and listen to the chorus again.
I got rid of clip two because you gave me six and I only have four slots.
Are you deleting these?
Got rid of clip two.
No, I replaced it with clip six.
Oh my God.
Wow, replace it with clip six.
Fuck.
Oh.
That's the worst clip.
We'll come back to the chorus at the end.
We've got the other chorus, the final chorus.
Oh, you have the final chorus?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasted everyone's time. All right. Well, in that case, let's play the spoken word segment. It wouldn't be a Weimer song without one.
Oh boy.
Just when you think this song's all right, he hits you with the spoken word segment.
With the spoken word.
Here we go.
Oh, now, baby, I know we can't be together. You know how I know? Because I saw it in a dream. And in the dream, I was chasing a giant crab up the beach. Now, you were in that dream, baby, but you weren't helping me. Oh, no. You were laughing at me. Now, I looked up the meaning of this dream because I thought it was a comment on my sexual hygiene. But as it turns out, to see a crab in a dream represents an unobtainable relationship. And that's when I knew, baby. I just knew. I had to let you go.
I have to be in your comedic space. You know what I mean? I have to be, because this, sure, I can get around it. And like, good gag and all that. Thanks. It's just that I have to be like, it's like, do you remember that time we were living together for a short period of time?
Yes, I know
and
exactly
I
what
was
you're
cleaning.
Say.
I was cleaning the floor. It was like, I don't know. It was like late at night and I was cleaning the kitchen. And you came
back.
Along and you were listening to
all the other kicks. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you were doing a little kick thing.
Yeah, I was kicking on every...
every time they said kick.
Oh, it was like,
no, they don't say kicks in that song.
I was like, kick, I'm a kick, doesn't kick. And I was like, I'm a rebel just for kicks, yeah. You can't stop me, and I'm kicking all these kicks, yeah. And I'm kicking
and
a lot, yeah, I'm kicking
just,
these kicks.
And it's like, sure, no, good, great. It's just that I wasn't there with you in the same realm.
It
just didn't work. And I feel like this is a similar thing, where it's like, oh, it's a funny spoken word thing.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about he's talking too much about his dream, and he's going into too much specific detail. Sure, great gag.
That wasn't the gag
just...
I was going for. Fuck.
Okay.
Well, the gag I was going for is that it's an homage to Elvis, as Elvis would occasionally do spoken word segments.
I know that.
Well, then what are you fucking talking about in my dream?
That's the thing. Anyway, go on.
So, this is a true fact. I had a dream that had me chasing a crab up the beach, and she was laughing at me. And back then, I was big into her dream dictionaries and figuring out what dreams meant. So, this is actually just me inserting that fact.
Did you have a dream dictionary phase?
Yeah.
Damn.
Did you not?
No, I
should
have.
Yeah, I was a very introspective young man, and also a fucking nutcase, as you can hear.
Yeah.
I remember I bought a big A to Z dream dictionary from my partners.
Damn.
We broke up, she took it with her, as she should have, because it was a gift, but like, you know, I liked looking at it.
It also, controversially, doesn't mean anything, right? Like,
I mean, I don't think you can predict the future, but you're telling me that, like, you'll... brain doesn't process what you're thinking.
I mean, I guess it's your subconscious. I'm a skeptic on dream meanings.
How can you be a skeptic? It's like you got a lot of shit going on in your life, and then you fall asleep and you have like a dream that you're being chased by zombies, and you wake up and you're like, that was a bad dream. You're like, oh, I guess I'm pretty stressed, you know?
I mean, sure.
Maybe you're pushing a lot of stuff down. You didn't always go going on.
I think, and this is a large tangent / argument.
No,
that we
fuck
maybe
you.
Just
fuck you. You came for me
in
my dream
but
job.
But I think I get the broader strokes of it. It's the minutiae of like if you see, you know, a ping pong ball in a martini glass, like that doesn't mean you need to be more hydrated, in my opinion.
That's fair.
That's just my opinion.
Well, maybe you look at the meaning of ping pong ball in a martini glass.
Look up the meaning of ping pong ball in a martini glass.
Maybe it means something. You're like, fuck. I'm like, you live in Sydney during a lockdown. You're like, oh.
Damn it.
Right?
How did they know? That all aside, it is still a, like, it's like, what if Elvis did a spoken word thing, but instead of doing like a, hey baby, I love you.
Yeah.
It's like it was a silly, hey baby, I had a dream about a crab and you were in it and you were laughing at me.
Yeah, it's funny. When I played it live, I used to be like,
yeah,
but as it turns out, to see a crab in a dream represents an unobtainable relationship. And that's true. You can Google it. And that was always the, that was always the bit that people used to laugh at.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's odd that the bit that wasn't in the song that I improvised is the bit that people liked. But yeah, so that's the spoken word bit. Don't know why it's in there. I forget it's in there because it's so unnecessary, so out of place.
Just out of place for the rest of the tone of the song. I'm not mad about it. It's just that I, every time I'm listening to it, am not in the mood, baby. Maybe tomorrow night.
I have a headache caused by this song. When you sing, unless you're Weird Al, you're like, all right, this is a serious thing. Spoken words, you can be like, oh, this is a comedy thing. But like, you're like, oh, I guess this is a comedy thing?
Right, you can't jarringly intertwine them.
Yeah, weird. Because it's very like, much not a comedy song up to that point.
If REM did like Everybody Hurts, and then every like in the middle of it, then just like talking about their shopping list, like it just doesn't, as like a gag.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought these were the lyrics, but they were my shopping list, and I'm REM. Oh, back to the song. Everybody Hurts.
It's so like that. Fuck. God damn. What the fuck was I doing at any point of my life? Do I do this shit now? And like 2 years from now, I'm going to be like, what was I doing? Fuck.
So random.
Lol, XD. This is painful. Life is painful for me. I like next week, I'm going to be cringing on this week. Fuck. God damn.
That's the cycle of cringe, baby.
I hate it. Never stops.
It's an Ouroboros of cringe.
Always be cringing. ABC.
ABC.
Fuck. What the fuck was I doing? Why was this my best song? Why did people like this? The melody is good.
It's a good melody.
It is a good melody. Thank you. I said that and you agreed with me. And then I acted like you said it. What? Fuck.
That's what you're cringing at next week.
Ah.
Look forward to next week on Alex Cringes. Let's cap it off. I think this is the end bit. And then the last chorus, which I did keep because you do something cool with it. Let's figure it out together.
Oh, true.
Whoa, this feels right, but I've only ever been wrong. Ooh, I never say it to your face, but I say,
yeah, the
wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Gotta say, I'm not at the top of my clip gang. Clip game.
Yeah, what's going on?
This
ain't Twitch.
These were some rapid clips for sure. Explain this to me.
Uh-huh.
This feels right, mm-hmm. but I've only ever been wrong.
I feel as though, you know when they say like when you meet the right person, you'll just know?
Yeah.
It's like this feels right, but I always feel like it's right. I fall in love very easily. I have bad judgment.
But given the content of the rest of the song,
yeah,
shouldn't it be like this felt right?
No, because it's
not
like
to nitpick, but
it's like you can love someone, acknowledge you can't be with them, and be like, I have to let this go. I'm not there yet.
So that whole situation is what feels good.
Well, I mean, that situation doesn't feel good. It's like,
no, but
this
feels,
connection
feels
between
the way
you, and
you
I.
should feel
yeah.
currently.
This connection between but, you and I feels right. It feels like what love would feel.
Oh,
like.
Thank you. That's good too.
That's why you're my co-host, man.
Yeah. But you're willing to admit that maybe you're wrong?
It's kind of like, hey, Alex, what's going on? Oh, I've met this new girl, guys. I bloody love it a bit. She's so funny. She just gets me. We can have really deep chats. Alex, what about the girl you were talking to last week? I know I have bad judge of character. I really feel like this situation.
I mean, that's like
the meta of this situation.
Yeah, it's like hey Alex, what's been going on? Well, you know, I met this girl and I thought that she was the absolute sunshine, but it actually turned out that we weren't right for each other. And so while I acknowledge that she is really great, I'm sad that we can't be together. And that's the thing that feels right.
Fair. I think it's more, I met this girl and I think she's the one.
But you're already past that by this point in the song.
However, she doesn't like me romantically. And that makes me... Hey, wait. Yeah, you're right. Hey, wait. You're right.
Thank you. I usually am.
What the fuck am I saying here? This feels,
I think,
right,
if you change it to
wrong.
Felt, if it's like, it felt right.
Yeah.
But I've only ever been wrong.
Yeah, that's much better. But then it's like I'd never say it to your face. Yeah, good. Because we're not even doing that anymore.
Yeah.
We're past that. Fucking hell. It's been 10 years, man. I enjoyed this song. And now I never
care.
I've seen its many flaws. That's what we do here.
I feel like we like evened each other out on this song. Because I came in kind of very aggressive from the jump, just being like, oh, Alex.
This is a piece of shit, and so are
you. This is a piece of shit, and so are you.
And I was like, hey, it's pretty good. It represents the growth. Show the growth. But
and I think ultimately, overall, it does. I don't know. It was just that one verse that confounded me. But guess we'll never know.
I mean, it is a verse that was true at some point.
Sure. It also, it's not, it's a very, like, not specific to the situation. Like, I feel like you have more, you know, light shining through in the cracks in the heart and all that kind of stuff is very much specific to this scenario, whereas
the song,
I feel like that little verse. I'm getting really hung up on that little verse. I'm very sorry.
I hate the verse, man.
I fucking hate the verse. Yeah, I hate
it. I'd never say it to your face, but I'd say it in song. Do we like it? Is it cheeky or is it bullshit? Oh, he's done a...
I'm not a fan. It's very like...
The Broadway growl. I'm not a fur.
It's very like, it's very early Alex. Takes me back to the adult days. It's very like, I'm going to do this without telling you, but I'm going to confess my feelings into this song.
See, the thing is, Alex, you're a fuck and no one likes you. No. I feel like young Alex, in his head, I don't think this is the shy looking away from the microphone Ariana Grande sleeves. For me, this is... I think he sees this as, like, the movie, the close-up. He catches her eye and then says it and, like, maybe does a sly wink. And the audience is like, oh, how smooth. You know, it's like a cheeky, but that makes my skin crawl. And imagining me...
As I say it out loud, actually. Yeah.
As imagining myself try to be sexual or romantic.
Hey now, you're an all-star.
Get your game on.
Get your game
go
on.
Go play.
Let's go. Not get too hung up on
we've
that.
Suitably killed that in the ass.
Yes.
It's the chorus, final chorus.
Hey, well, those four woes, good woes.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Oh,
whoa,
oh, thank you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Those are different wars.
They are different wars. Well, okay, so we have a cool thing happening in the second half of this chorus. Pay attention if you can avoid the fucking terrible singing. Just have, at one point, listen to the fucking the cymbals just smashing out the way drums should not do.
I think I love you.
I love you.
I know I need you.
I need you.
But I can't have you. It's tearing me apart. I think I love you.
I love you.
I know I need you.
I need
your
you.
Light is shining through the cracks in my poor heart. I think I love you.
I like my little Frankie Valli.
Yeah.
In the background.
I liked it too.
Credits. We finally agree.
It did kind of sound like a screaming goat. You know those videos of screaming goats.
Fuck.
But, you know, I'm glad it was there.
Do you mean the one at the very end or the yeah?
I mean the one that was like the like back half of the chorus.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a screaming goat.
We collectively shook our heads at that part. when you listened to it the first time.
We shook our heads.
You were talking about the cymbals.
No. The cymbals were bad, but also I was talking about at the very, very end, there's a quiet, high-pitched. But the bit I was shaking my head at was... Mm-hmm. Tearing me apart, I think I... And then I try to go for an impassioned, yeah!
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah.
It's fucking bad. Bad. I don't reach that note.
Bad.
Why did I leave it in?
Okay, that's what I thought the goat was. That was Fair. The goat.
It was quite goat-esque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This whole
Do you think it was a gag? Another one of your patented gags that you put into serious songs?
Do I save face and say it was? Or do I tell the truth and say I was really trying? I was really trying. I was trying to do it a cool bit. It felt right, so I went for it. But
you're only ever
I've
wrong.
Only ever been wrong. Fuck. This whole fun chorus came about because I had done quite sophisticated harmonies for this song.
Sure.
You know, some kind of actually planned it out on a keyboard harmonies rather than just kind of improving harmonies. And I was like, what does this sound like without music? And I was like, oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
So I did the first half a cappella, had some clicks, and then brought the rest in after a nice kind of swell on the strings. But I was quite happy with that. Listening back, but...
You tried.
Yeah, I don't
know.
It
was it. It was a solid effort, I think. Like it shows that it was planned out.
Yeah.
And I think that when the music gets stripped away, it is like a cool moment.
Yeah. I always love an a cappella breakdown in any song. It's always good.
Yeah.
I've never heard a song with an a cappella breakdown that I wasn't like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I saw an a cappella breakdown because one of the guys, the alto, was like sleeping with the tennis player.
Fuck you. Ba 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 ba. God damn it.
So we're at the end of the song.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the song.
End of the song.
We've done it. Do you have any little bits that fell off and went to the wayside? Do you have any extra trivia?
Well, I was actually stalling that whole time while I read through my notes to see if I'd covered everything.
He's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. He's a professional.
And I did find the bit that I remembered, and I was like, maybe I should go back, but there's only one thing. I re-recorded this song, which I briefly mentioned, but I had like done it properly, and it sounded pretty good. And yeah, my band and I were playing it. This was going to be on Crazy Days, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then
I don't think it would have fit in Crazy Days.
I think that's why we didn't end up going with it.
Yeah. I don't think that vibes. Although I guess I don't know a fully produced version of this song outside of what you've done here, but
are you saying if it was polished, it would fit because it's,
well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know, dude.
I don't know. A lot of Australian Brisbane producers have hacked big chunks out of my songs. So maybe that would have also happened. Maybe they'd be like, cut the fucking spoken word bit.
Yeah, they would have. They definitely would have. I would have. If I were your producer, I wouldn't know jack shit, but I'd know to tell you to get the fucking spoken word out of there.
There is a cool guitar solo underneath the spoken word bit.
Yeah, leave that in.
Just a fucking silent
money, dude.
Solo. What do you... Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the question. Yeah. You remove the spoken word segment. Good song?
Yeah, I think it's a good song. Yeah, I do. I think, you know, it's very much an homage. I don't know where it fits into the landscape of music today/in 2011. I don't know if I'd like listen to it on purpose.
If it happened near me, I would let it enter my ears.
Get into it.
I wouldn't leave the room.
Literally, if you released it in the 50s, this would be great.
Fair. I do wonder what place my music nowadays has in the world. I think I'm just kind of fucking...
Good bops.
Doing
good
my
bops
own...
that anyone can listen to all the time.
Well, that's my thing. It's like, it's music for people who like music. I like 50s music. If I heard... Because I think good music is timeless. Even if you're like, oh, this is an 80s song from the 80s. You're like, it was good then, and it's good now. You know?
That's true.
It's kind of...
I was listening to 60s French pop the other day. Just a playlist full of it. And it was good.
Is this a meme?
Cooking. No, I was cooking.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, you should literally on Spotify search 60s French pop there's like a playlist. You know how like it's like Topsify or something, and they like make a bunch of playlists. It's just called 60 French Pop. How? And you just listen to it and you're just like, oh,
how did you find 60s French pop?
Because I searched 60s French pop.
What's the matter with you, you weirdo?
Hey, you'll thank me later.
I will. That's the thing. I believe that good music is good regardless. Like, obviously, society has to play a part. Back in the USSR, if released in 2021, might not have the same thing. But like, I think there are some songs that are just bangers because they have the components in them to be bangers. You know?
Yeah. I agree.
Like Uptown Funk in 1425. You'd probably get burnt at the stake. But also... I don't know what happened in 1420. Was that a burning at the stake kind of time?
I don't know the centuries.
Yeah.
I gotta brush up on my centuries, dude.
Yeah, man. If you're gonna continue being a host on this show, you gotta know your centuries, man. But like, maybe they'd be like, oh, Goody Proctor, you're fucking getting burnt for this devil music. But they would be fucking tapping their toes underneath the bench when no one saw. They'd be like, this slaps.
Because they are my jams. Because I cannot have another.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It's some good Crucible memes.
Yeah, man. All our Crucible fans. We're like, ah, oh, finally. The two worlds collide.
Yes. I had a fun time going through this with you.
Oh, thank you. I had a fun time going through it with you as well.
Hmm. Where can people find your music?
Well, I'm glad you asked, James. I'm a musician called Your Man Alex Smith, and I've had an album...
Wait, shut up. What ranking is this out of 10 sucks?
Oh, shit. Okay, so 10 being it sucks a lot, 1 being it doesn't suck very much.
Yep.
For anyone listening for the first time. I'm going to say bloody... 1.
I'm going to say a 2.
Ah.
You can't tell me that the spoken segment.
That's why I get a 1.
Oh, I see. It would be a 0. It would be a 0 sucks.
Yeah. Wait, did I say 1? It sounds like it was recorded on an ass. You can quote me. So I'm going to bump that back up to a 3.
Wow.
The production was so bad.
Yeah. All right.
But do we rate production? Do we rate songwriting? No, fuck it.
You,
3.
You
fuck
tell
it.
Me.
No, but I've given everything a 3. So generous with the 3s. 2.
I'm dishing like 6s on the rec. So we're fine.
Safety 6.
Safety 6. I'm settling on 2. All right, do your plug.
Yeah, I've been working on this past album for 4 years. That's as long, if not a little bit longer, than we've been working on this podcast. Mm. It's called Slow Burn. It's on Spotify, Bandcamp, and iTunes. It sounds fucking really good. People have been giving it really good feedback. There's a really nice review from Good Call Live, which made me cry. I felt very seen, very validated. And most recently, probably not as recently once this episode comes out, but I had a big animated music video done by Skjald, who are a Danish animation team, and they did the Tales of Alethreon series on YouTube. It's fucking the coolest thing that's ever happened in my career. You are doing yourself a disservice if you don't check it out. It's got cowboys. It's traditional animation. It's cool as fuck. Everyone has also had a lot of good things to say about that as well. I definitely recommend you check it out. James, what you got going on?
Not a ton, but you can find the show on at My Song Suck on Instagram and Twitter. Find all the updates on all our new episodes as they come out. Listen to the show, rate it. I don't know. I feel like that's something people say about shows.
Yeah.
Rate the show.
Yeah, rate the show.
Rate the show.
On Spotify.
If you like it.
Wait, iTunes. Apple Music. That's
iTunes,
the one.
Apple Podcasts.
On Facebook. Give us a 5-star.
Facebook?
Maybe. Leave
do
a nice comment.
Facebook? I don't use Facebook that much. But if you do, hey, rate us.
Yeah, give us a rate. So
give
that
a rate.
Other people can be like, oh, these guys seem good.
Yeah, look at all these ratings.
Yeah, the algorithm.
But only the good ones. Anyway, thank you all for listening. This has been My Song Suck. I've been James Keogh.
I've been Alex Smith.
And you've been listening to James Keogh and Alex Smith. See you next time on My Song Suck.
Bye.
Bye.